Thank you so much for coming to my website today. It's a joy, a privilege, an honor to be able to sit here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, and have a conversation with you. Where do I reside? In the United States of America, on God's good, great planet Earth. You, wherever you are, it's indeed a privilege for me to sit here and to be able to say, good afternoon, hello, and ask the question, how are you? How are you getting along? It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is gorgeous in Los Angeles today. It's one of those days that makes you stop and say, goodness, it's good to be alive. I saw a video clip on Facebook. It was an assemblage of African-American people, older, in a church service, and they were worshiping the Lord, and it was quite real. The headline went something like this: this is the way black people used to go to church, something like that, and it was right. It made me cry. I said, oh my gosh, I must be really getting old up in age, because this is moving me. But the more I see the historical images of what our family life was like, what we were like, it brings joy to my heart, actual joy. Now, I got to share with you a phone call that I got today, and I asked this beloved senior citizen, would she be willing to do a webcast with me? Give it a week or so. Later, let her rest down, because we spoke almost an hour over the phone. But this dear woman, her children are about the age of my children, so she's up there around my age. I knew her husband very well before he passed away some years ago. And both of her children have done very well. I know her family members. That's what made the conversation kind of long, because I was asking about all these people. Well, what about your cousin? And what about... Oh, and it was just wonderful doing that. And one of the better parts of the conversation, and I can't help but to think about it, because Thanksgiving brings it to mind. This is the woman that taught my... This woman's grandmother taught my wife, Lucy, how to really put her foot in the pan when it came to making collard greens, hams, candy yam, corn muffins, and all the delicacies that kept a black man's palate in working form during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Mrs. Ethel County, God rest her. Ethel, I believe you can hear me. I believe that now. Ethel, I want to thank you. I was a young man and I married a young woman. I didn't know what I was doing. She didn't know what she was doing when she married me either. But Ethel, you taught my wife some of the delicacies of cooking in the black home. And it was just outstanding. That's the kind of a day I've had. Because what it does is it calls me to memory. It forces me to take a good look at who I am, where I am, why I am. And that's always a very good thing to do. But I had this conversation with this dear lady, and it took me back to the Thanksgiving days that Lucy would go. We lived in the Santa Rosalia apartments on Santa Rosalia and Hillcrest, and they were very unique apartments, because Ethel lived in the bottom apartment, and she was a senior citizen living alone. Her husband had died, and she was a church sister from the AME church. She was one of those old sisters in the AME church. And she used to talk like this, John Coleman, would you mind taking this trash out for me? I'll never forget Mrs. County, a short little woman, just like her granddaughter, Beverly, that I was speaking with. so much like her. That made my day today. That made my day. That gave me a reason to come in the studio and get on the mic. Hey, if you guys really want to experience life, and I'm telling you, you know, it's kind of lonely around here because I don't let people just come in my house. There's a young man that cleans up around here, and he bobs his head in the garage now and then, and he's gone. I don't know where he is, on his job or whatnot, because I'm an old man and I need some help around here. Need some help. That's all. Just need a little help. And I don't allow people to be running all through my house. I don't do that. They may go down the driveway to visit him, but no, they're not coming in here because I'm not letting nobody bring no Corona unless it's a nice beer. Not going to let them bring it in here on me. But it was such a rewarding talk that I had with this very dear woman. She was telling me stories about how her children are keeping care of her. And it reminds me so much of the children, my daughters, that take care of me. Because I'm a senior citizen now. You know what? I have to stop and think about that because I have to say it. I am a senior citizen now. I have to keep telling myself that because I'm in the same body. I have the same brain. I feel like I'm 28, 29. And I have to remind myself, you're a senior citizen now, John. You're going to trip. You're going to fall. You got to be careful. I have to exercise more. I have to keep the right kind of air in my lungs. I have to do that. I feel different these days. I don't feel the way I did when I was in my 20s, my 30s, my 40s. Oh, my 50s. No. Wait a minute, I didn't start feeling bad until last year. I'm telling you, it must have been the chemtrails. This is what I wanted to ask you guys. Have you looked up into the sky lately and saw that there's no more chemtrails up there? Question number one, why don't you see the chemtrails up over the skies in our cities like we saw right before Corona broke out? Because there was chemtrail in the whole world. And then Corona broke out over the whole world. And then all these people are so-called dead over the whole world, and you don't see the chemtrails anymore. Could the government be involved? I asked my neighbor, and he said, well, John, nah, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to. Don't worry, that's hardcore letting me know who's running business over here. Just one thing you can think about. How about this? Thanksgiving's over. Everybody's back home. They say that the cases are going to spike, zip, going all the way up again. I'll tell you one thing. I had a conversation with my friend, Beverly, and she lives near the 10 Freeway. The 10 Freeway is the Santa Monica Freeway here in Los Angeles, and it runs very near to where she used to live. If you follow that 10 Freeway and you have a street map, it's Redondo and then Cloverdale. Well, she lived at, you go to the 10 Freeway on Cloverdale and then go north about two blocks, and that's where she used to live. Well, I remember what lots, open lots were on the corner there, and she told me that they built some new apartment houses. And so I said, well, Beverly, they're building apartment houses all over Los Angeles and everything. But she said, John, in each floor in the apartment house, they have their own bedrooms, their own toilets and showers, but they don't have their own kitchen. And I said, what do you mean? She said, one of her neighbors said, baby, you should go in it. They don't have no kitchen in those apartments. You have to cook on a community floor. Now, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I asked her, who bought your house? Because she sold her house and living near a relative of hers elsewhere in another part of the city. I said, who bought your house? She said, some Chinese people did, with cash. I said, with cash? She said, with cash. See, look here, look here, look here. Coming over here, see, coming over here, coming over. Come on over here then. Come on over here. Everything didn't change. You know, I see black people in the community, but everybody's trying to stop these people, the Jews or the Chinese or whoever's trying to buy the Crenshaw Mall. Protect the Crenshaw Mall. Well, black people can't buy it. Not going to have no black people put no money together to buy the Crenshaw Mall. Well, they trying to buy it. Well, what do you think they trying to buy it for? They're going to make some money in that. And they know that if black people living around here, we love to go shopping, spending money. You guys throw away all your money yet on Black Friday? Yeah, I bet you didn't, did you? People getting shot up in malls. Oh, my God. What have we done? No, it's what we haven't done. I remember I had a young man over here. He was infatuated with pistols. I have to keep mine locked up. I said, why are you infatuated looking at this? This is a weapon of mass destruction. What you looking at that for? Let me hold it. Let me touch it. I said, no, no, no. My name's on that gun. The only fingerprints belong on that gun are mine. And my fingerprints going to be on it if I shoot you. So, no, you're not touching my weapon. These youngsters... They have a fixation with the strangest things. These strangest things. I don't want them to have a fixation with that. Anyhow, this is a wonderful, wonderful day. I see my neighbors walking their dogs. It's nice and sunny outside. It'll be getting cool in about an hour. I'm thinking about making a light spaghetti. You know, I cut down on eating a lot of meat, but I don't mind eating the ground turkey organic meat. I want to have some light spaghetti with a little, those little packs of ground turkey meat that come in a pack. I cut it in thirds and freeze it. And I'm going to have one third of that because I'm only making enough for me to eat and make some nice spaghetti. Put some vegetables in there. Put a little kale salad. Chop it up. Put it in there. Oh, that make that good. And that'll make a nice dinner for later on this evening. And a little glass of red wine to go with that as I act like I'm out at one of L.A.'s favorite restaurant places. I don't have to worry about looking for a pot and pan to cook in because my dear wife left me with an arsenal of pots and pans. And trust me, sometimes when I have young men come by and I give them a cooking lesson, I teach them, Miss Benoose, in your pots and your pans. And the kitchen is smelling like good food. And it seems like the house is a home again. You know, Christmas is coming up. All right, we got through Thanksgiving. No, I didn't have anybody in my home. No, my grandchildren and children came by. My daughter came by to see me the day after Thanksgiving. Yes, she did. Brought me a wonderful plate of food. Just wonderful. I just got through eating it yesterday. I won't eat the rest of the mac and cheese. Too much. Oh, no, too much cholesterol. I can't handle that. Oh. I'm keeping my nasal passages clear, and I have to do that because they tell me that if you have corona, you can't smell nothing and you can't taste nothing. Well, sometimes I think like my taste is going away, but because I've eaten so many years, I'm tired of tasting. This is when I get a kick out of food. I get a kick out of making the food, but tasting it, it's just, you know, just going through it. I was telling Beverly, I said, you know, Beverly, we both senior citizens now. We both had children about the same time. We both still kicking it. She went to her doctor. Her doctor said she got this. If I go to mine, he going to tell me I got that. I won't go to the doctor because the less I know, the better off I am. If I go to the doctor and he said, well, we need to do some blood work, John. I know what that means. You're going to do some blood work and you're going to find something. And if you find something, you're going to put me on a regimen. So this is the way it is. If I got something, and this is just me, if I got something, I got something. And I'm too old to stop it. It's got to keep eating, whatever it is eating. Let it eat. It got to live too, or whatever. I'm going to try not to trip and break my neck and fall down. That's becoming more and more difficult to do because every day that I get up, it seems like I got to conjure up more strength. Today, that was the sound. No, that wasn't me working on the chain gang. That was the sound of me swallowing water because I don't drink enough of it. And whenever I do webcasts, my throat gets charred and, you know, like that. You know how it is if you're a day over 50. You know, I'm so glad that I'm still having the strength to do these webcasts because a lot of people that listen to me are a day over 50. And it's all right. I want to say this too because I was going to say this on the last webcast, but something went wrong, and I hope that nothing goes wrong here. And I really believe what I'm saying when I say this. When you get to be a certain age, you have to change your habits. You have to change some of the things that you do in order to keep you healthy and strong in every way, not only dietary habits, exercise habits, how you handle yourself sexually. That's right. Senior citizens do handle themselves sexually on a regular basis. You must do that on a regular basis, and you must do that to performance, just like you were when you were a young man, if you're a man, or a young woman, if you're an older woman. That's very important because that's never going to change, and that helps keep you vitally attached to the world that you're living in. And so I would say, concentrate on those. And look, I'm going to say this. I'm a retired pastor, and I know the way some of you are thinking, what is John trying to see? Now what is he trying to tell? I'm going to tell you one thing. When you get up and you can't urinate, you know what? You may have prostate problem, and you may have to go get that checked and figured out. But after you get that checked and figured out, you better keep working that prostate. You have to keep working that, working you. And you can buy books on this, and you can read on this. You better do something, or you're going to be hugging a coffin sooner than you thought. And the disposition of getting with the times, I was telling a young man, I was speaking with him over the phone the other day, and he says, you know, you and I get along, you know, he's about 29, and he's not black. And he said, you know, you and I get along good. We talk about everything. And I said, yes, we do. Wait a minute. I just heard my phone ring. Now, I got to go see who this is. No, I'm not going to go. I'll just go back to it. But he said, you get along pretty well with me. And I said, I do. That's what keeps me alive, son. That's what keeps me alive. Because as I ask you about the world that you coming up in, you can show enough ask me about the world that I came up in. And that's what we started to do. He's different. He's different. He's not black. And all the young black boys, reason that they like coming by here spending time with the old man is because that's what I do. I talk about things the way they're going in their lives. Tell me what you do, how you get a girlfriend. Most of these black boys ain't got no girlfriend. They don't know how to court a girl. They don't know how to do it. They ask me, how did I meet Lucy? Oh, man, what an exciting time. I said, I didn't even know anything about a woman until I went overseas. I was a virgin in more ways than one. I was a virgin when I went into the army at 21. I had never slept with a woman or anything like that. Went in the army and lost my virginity. I guess you can call it that. That wasn't losing anything. It was a fiasco. It didn't work me and this guy named Peterson went out. I told you about it. Went out on a pass, and we went deep down in Seoul, Korea, part of Seoul, the capital city. I didn't even know was there. The taxi cab driver, I just said, drive, man, drive. Get me away from the base stationed at 304th Signal Battalion in Yongsan, Korea, the middle of Seoul, right next to Yongsan, the main 8th Army headquarters. Man, that was an exciting time to be alive. 1965 to 67, two of the greatest years that ever transpired in my life. Now, somebody's calling me, so I better chide in on this and see who this is. All right, I'm back. I just told him that I'll call you right back when I'm finished. So, I was talking about something, and I forgot what I was talking about. See what I'm talking about? I should not have gone to that phone. But it's going to be a good conversation because he and I haven't talked in a while. And I remember, I won't even tell you who it is, but I remember the first time that I met this. He was one of these newfound friends of mine. I had gone out and I was in a public place, you know, where people listen to music and have a glass of wine and talk and back and forth and everything. And he shows up and he says, well, so why are you standing here alone? I said, I'm standing here alone because I came alone and I'll leave alone. And I live alone, and that's the way it is. And from there, we became very good friends. And he got one of those nice high-tech jobs now, and he likes calling, you know, just checking on the old man, seeing how the old man is doing. It's good to be alive. It's good to have friends that'll call you. You know what I mean? Not friends that's going to just try to get in your business. I got some friends, they call me, what you doing? Did you hear from them? Did you hear from them? And you know what? I used to get a lot of that, those churchy questions, you know. Have you heard from this brother? Have you heard from this sister? Did you know that this happened? I don't know nothing about them people. Those people got their lives and I got mine. And isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I called my daughter and told her about this phone call that I got earlier from this lady. And I gave my daughter the number and I said, you need to call her. Because, why? It is a beautiful thing because my daughter is the same age as her daughter. They used to play with each other when she brought them by the house when we were in the apartment, Lucy and I, on Santa Rosalia and Hillcrest. Just a wonderful time growing up. And when I think about how I raised my daughters, how I got to know my neighbors, how I treated my neighbors, how we treated each other. It was just different. It was different. Everything is different. Man, think of it. You're renting an apartment, but there's no kitchen there. There's a community kitchen at the end of the hall. That means everybody got to use the same stove. And what? What if they, you know, Beverly asked me, John, what if they don't clean it the way you keep your stuff clean? I said, I wouldn't eat there. I wouldn't eat there because most of these new people, they're not, hey, listen, I was cooking something one night. I had a young man over and, he was cooking something and it splattered, the grease splattered. And I said, now you have to clean the grease off the stove. He said, what? I said, clean the grease that spattered in the skillet off of the stove while you're cooking. He said, well, I'm cooking. I said, that'll only cook for 5 more minutes. And you wash the skillet, put it in the rack, and you clean the stove, preparing it for the next dish and keeping your. And I said, this is a kitchen. And I said, I have dishes up here, and I have pots and pans and things over here. I have crystal over here, the glassware here, the silverware's in this drawer, and certain silverware's over here. I said, kitchens are organized for cooks to cook in it. Man, when I make that spaghetti for me tonight, It is going to be a fantastic conglomerate of a dish because I know how to cook. Oh, well, I don't want to get on the case of these youngsters. I'll come back and share more with you at a later time. I do want to call my buddy back and see what's on his mind because he sure do want to know what's on mine. Thank you for being a friend of mine, for coming by my site. God bless you. I love you guys. Stay in the Word of God if you want to read the Bible. It's a good book, and it'll keep your heart in every way. Don't hate anybody. Love everybody. Pray for forgiveness. Pray that God will forgive our president, Donald Trump, for his foolishness and to open up his eyes. Pray that Biden will be okay, that he won't do nothing worse than sprain his ankle, because we need somebody to get us back on track, stop all this globalization foolishness. But you can't stop progress, can you? Progress is going to continue to go forward. 26 minutes and 13 seconds. With that, I'm going to say thank you. See you soon.